Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Clean Nation, welcome to today's amazing podcast. We have the lovely Tracy Thompson. Today, we are going to talk about the number one most expensive mistake that owners of cleaning companies have made. Having coached tens of thousands one-to-many and thousands one-to-one, we consistently have found the number one, the most costly mistake owners of cleaning companies make. Feel like we should have preamble, but screw it. Let's just jump right in, Tracy. We should build it up and do all this stuff. We're not gonna do any of that crap. We're gonna get right to the meat. Tracy, what is the number one mistake owners of cleaning companies make? How can we avoid it? How can we change? Talk to us, lady.
Yes. The number one mistake is always tied to this mindset. It's a mindset, a belief that wanting something, wanting to change something, wanting to have something in their business, wanting more employees, wanting more business, whatever the wanting is enough, is the same thing as doing and having. And it's tricky because people want things for a long time. And they tell that story about how it just has to happen. You don't understand. It has to have, I have to have employees. I have to grow. I want this so much. And I've committed everything I know how to do it. But they're not actually doing what they're wanting, what they're saying that they're wanting. And that gap is the killer.
So we're going to get deep quick. My least favorite thing when I coach is hear, I shouldn't say least favorite, my most heartbreaking thing I hear clients say or prospective clients say, typically clients don't say this, is when I'm doing coaching, and I know when Tracy does coaching, the first thing we always go is, well, where are you at? You know, where do you want to be? Why do you think this isn't working? What are we going to do different, right? That's a pretty logical forward progress. And it just breaks my heart when I hear people go, why is it going to be different? Or what's going to change? Why do you think you'll get this? And they say some version of what Tracy said, this has to work. Like somehow the fact that they've wasted 5 years out of their committed two that they were going to waste, or they're just way into the red, or their spouse isn't going to put up with it, or they're not going to make payroll or whatever. Like things are getting real and we feel it. And it's like the opposite, right? When we're in that gun to our head situation of we're way into the red and way into the beyond where we could have changed things fairly easily. So it has to work. It's the freaking opposite. The fact that it has to work makes it less likely to work, but people are so almost giving up hope. And I don't want to say I never know what to say, but I don't ever feel like I'm effective. How would you answer the guy that goes, or gal, hey, this has got to work, Tracy?
Yeah. You made such a good point there. I call it getting wrapped around your own axle, right? This wanting. So there's a gap between when we want something and we're now in the red, as you said, we're in critical, it's critical and it's go time and it has to work now. That's the story. But the gap between that and actually having it happen makes it almost a self-fulfilling vicious cycle. It's the worst thing ever to want like that and not have. So
and especially what people tend to do is double down on the thing that got them where they're at. They're like, right, I'll just do more of this, which is like, it's frustrating because as a coach, and this is why I love having Tracy on, I know how wrong that is and how it's like, no, I'm like screaming, you're going the wrong direction. But people get super tunnel vision when they're in that fear or panic and it's just like, they can't think straight. So how do we communicate to those listening now that might feel that that's where they're at? And like, yeah, I'm right there. I want to just shake them, right? And how do we kind of, especially in a one-to-many thing like this, get them out of that and help them? Yeah, walk us to the light, Tracy. We're scared. We're going to a dark place. Help us pull up the yoke, baby. We're diving. And I hate to laugh because it's serious, but sometimes you just, what else are you going to do?
And we've all heard the whole, what's a definition of insanity, of doing the same thing, or worse, doing it on turbocharge,
right,
the
doing
same
more
thing over and over and expecting different results. And this is really the vicious cycle and why it's so heartbreaking and why it's so scary. So, and I just want to take just a beat before I help pull these pieces apart for people and help them get themselves, hopefully give them a chance to get themselves out of this tailspin. Is a reason that that happens is fear. You said it. Fear starts to take over. And when we're afraid, you've all heard about the fight, flight, or freeze, right? Response. And most people's first instinct is to freeze, is to just double down on what they've been doing because that's all they know. So it is a fear response. And just understand that if you've been there, if you've been in that space where you're like, I get it. I get that I probably should be doing something different, but I don't know how, I don't know what it is. And I'm just freaked out. It has to work. So the first thing you got to do is you have to find a way to get out of the state of fear, the panic, that feeling of, oh my gosh, I have to. We have to step away. It's almost like if you're at a desk, like push yourself away from it. Like, that's the problem. I got to step away from it. And I got to get out of this state of panic I'm in right now. The feeling of that anxiety and fear and panic when you're thinking about that topic. So we can't get into a better state mentally, emotionally, before we start trying to get ourselves out of that spin cycle, we don't stand a chance. Does that make sense?
Even before that, I would say to recognize that's the state that you're in. So True. It's easy when we're on a coaching call because we kind of force the issue and take it to that place, right? And hopefully if you're listening to this, you can recognize, holy crap. So I don't want you to go, oh, that's me or that's not me, because that's neither of those are the truth. The truth would be that's me some of the time, that's me a lot of the time, or that's me almost never. So I would encourage you to start being open to recognizing that it's why is it going to work? Because it has to work. And how will I do it? I'll just double down. I'll work harder. And that can sound like a lot of things, but it can sound like, oh, I'm just going to work tonight, even though my wife wants to spend time with me. If I can just get this done, then I can take a break. If that's the 39th time you said that and the break hasn't happened, that's probably not the truth. Or if I just take this shifting and clean and don't work on my business, but in it, then I'll be able to make payroll. Or if I just collect this amount of money from this client that's behind, then I can, if this is a habit, that would be a time where you're putting yourself in that weird state. So first you got to recognize, I do get in that state sometimes, even if I'm not at now, I do get in that sometimes. Once we recognize it, then that, I love what you said, Tracy, about physically pushing the table, you know, away in your mind, like I'm physically separating myself from that story. Cause we think that story is us. We identify like, I am a bad business owner. I am in panic. I am failing. I am a failure, as opposed to I've chosen to let this belief of something about me or my business infiltrate. So once we identify that's not us all the time, and it's sadly not us probably none of the time, then we recognize how to kind of separate ourselves from it. What's the next step?
So definitely getting into a more observer perspective, being more neutral about it and disengaging from our need to be right. There's what we do. We argue for our old story and we double down and justify and start to argue about why it's true and why it's been that way. And so just recognizing that if we've been stuck in a place for a long time with something, a cycle, and we haven't been able to break out of it, there's a pretty good chance that there's an argument going on inside your head of why it's true and why you should believe it and why somebody else, you may even tell other people the same story of, you don't understand. I would totally break this. I would break this cycle. I would be out of this if only it wasn't COVID, or if only I could just collect, right? So what Mike was saying. So there's a self-fulfilling argument for why we're stuck in it that is keeping us from fixing it.
If we are in a sitcom, the joke would be the obvious alcoholic character on the sitcom. What do they always say? You guys can say it with me in podcast land. I can quit anytime. And that belief of, if that was true, if he or she could quit anytime for real, he wouldn't have a problem. So he's like, I can tell myself this lie and never have to deal with it, right? You just got a DUI, but I could quit anytime. Your wife and kids are leaving you. Well, I could quit, you know, that lie of I could quit anytime keeps us from actually quitting, right? So the lie of, if I just, like, I just went over the whole example of, you know, if I just worked harder, if I just do this one time, if I just whatever, if I just double down on the insanity I've been doing, then it'll change. I think that's why we tell ourselves that lie, right? So we don't have to do the work of, you know, it's like kind of the devil, you know, like, do I love cleaning? No. Do I love letting my wife and family down? No. But I know that devil, and that's better than trying to grow it as an entrepreneur or admit that all this time I've been doing it wrong. What would that make me? What does that say about me? Right. Like that, like Tracy said, that need to prove ourselves right.
Exactly. And so the step number one is recognize that if you're going to argue
with yourself, like all of us sane people do, I argue all the time.
If we're going to argue, let's get on a different side. I call it the prosecutor and the defense attorney. So if you're going to argue for something, why not just, first of all, recognize that that's what we do. We want to argue for being right. So, okay, great. So let's maybe shift. Let's admit to ourselves. Yeah, I kind of like to argue. I like to argue for stuff. So let me argue a different case. Let's argue for something different. So the old argument was, well, it's, you don't understand. I all the stuff that Mike just went over. That's the old argument.
And let me jump in with an example of this that we do it. Because people always see when it's external from us, we're like, yeah, oh, that makes sense. And then we talk about it internal. We sometimes it doesn't make sense. So let me give an external argument that will hopefully help you guys be able to kind of ingest Tracy's internal, what this would look like. So in our coaching, I talk about being right or being rich, right? So when I was young, there was a lot of kind of a black and white guy. So I would see an employee, a spouse, unfortunately, a friend, anyone I was in relationship with doing something, in my opinion, wrong, but I'm pretty opinionated. So when I don't think they're doing it, in my opinion, wrong, I just see them as doing it wrong. So I'll explain, you should do it this way. And let's just say I'm always right, which isn't the case, but let's just say that's the case and they should do it this way. And they don't do it that way. Me yelling and going, rah, 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 you know, here's 74 data points as to why you're wrong and I'm right. And them just getting abused by all this data and then going, F that guy, I hate him. And then doing the exact same thing. I would be right, but I wouldn't be rich in friends and I wouldn't get the results that I want. So I started realizing, even if I'm right, but I'm right all by myself, maybe I could lose a battle and win the war, right? Maybe Tracy could, or whoever I'm dealing with could figure it out on their own and come to it. So externally, hopefully you can see, and this goes with clients all the time, by the way, perfect thing. Like if you are going to argue with them, even when they lie, and I know you guys are like, he said that we didn't show up three times and I have proof that we did show up and we get into this pissing match, you're always going to lose. Cause even if you win in the data argument, he goes, fine, you're fired. But you did, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're still fired, right? So you get to be right, but not rich. So I encourage you to kind of in an external manner to transform the way that you're seeing this is like to really win or to really have the reality I want, I'm going to make sure that this guy feels happy and comfortable. And even if I have facts on my side, might it be okay to not bludgeon this guy with my facts and try and find a solution that makes him happy, even if he goes on thinking that I didn't clean this one day when I really did and blah, 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 blah. So externally, we got to, hopefully we see the wisdom in, I'm just going to let this one go. I want to win for him and for me more than I want to be right. All right. With that foundation, talk to us about what that looks like when the crazy person we're arguing with isn't a customer, it's the jerk inside our head. Right.
Right. So, First job is to recognize that we all do it, have been arguing in our own head, right, in ourselves, for our own past limitations, for our own cycles, for our own patterns and choices. Okay, great. So now we recognize, I kind of like to argue, but I've been arguing the wrong case. I've been arguing.
If you're wondering what that sounds like, it wasn't my fault I went out of business. It's COVID. The government said I couldn't work. My spouse isn't supportive. I'm too tall. I'm a woman. I'm a man. I'm ugly. I'm short. I'm fat. I'm poor. all of these is my mom told me I'm dumb, and I was too dumb to think otherwise. These could be what that sounds like. Go ahead, sister.
Right. Yes. So anything that has justified why we've been up to where we are now. Okay. Recognize that is an old story. That's an old version of the argument of us being right in our wrongness in the past, right?
So that's now we're going to say, all right. Right in your wrongness. That's
right in our wrongness, right? Arguing in the past for our limitations. So now you make a conscious choice. Great. I'm going to build a case for why and argue for my success. What might, even if I don't have the answer, I ask myself $1 million question. Here it is. I know I don't know the answer right now, but if I did, okay, if I were a person that knew the answer, what might that be? How could I think differently, build a case now for why it could work, why I can get out of this, why I can, right? Not why you can't, why you couldn't, why you hadn't, all the old story, right? That we've argued it. You just open it up.
And trying a couple different versions. I know I'm stupid, like my mom said, but if I wasn't and I was a genius, what would I do? I know I couldn't possibly be successful during COVID because the government has told me I can't work. But if I could, what would that look like? So feel free to try this on at home and customize it to your specific insane argument of why. You know, I know I'm too dumb to ever be worth anything like my dad told me, but if I wasn't, what would I do?
I know. Here's a good one. I know all the employees or potential employees that might want to come work for me. Nobody in my area wants to work.
That's a great one. But if they did.
I wonder what that could look like. I wonder how I might be able to talk to them and attract them. And yeah, you know, right. So it starts to open up the new argument for success, the potential for you to start to build a case for your new version, your new self, your new success. So at least we shift the conversation, we shift the argument.
So I think, because we had talked about this kind of prosecutor defense in a previous podcast. So Lindsay, Alan, editor, whoever's listening, if you could link to that in the notes. Let me just sum up what we said. We started with the number one most expensive mistake owners of cleaning companies have. And that would be in their panic, letting them think, if I double down on what I've done that got me where I'm at, or because it has to work, or because it's an emergency, God, providence, you know, whatever. And again, I'm a big believer in God, so please don't hear me saying that. But I also believe God's like, get to work, you know, and all.
Get out of your own way.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. There is a scripture that says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, right? So you got to get out and do it. God's not just going to, you know, he's not your mama bird feeding you. But the number one mistake they make is believing two non-truths. One, if I, you know, I can't, there's COVID, I'm done, you know, all that stuff. And Tracy gave you the magic answer to that. And I hate to say magic, but it really is transformative. And it feels like, it's not magic, it's logic, but it feels like magic. I know, but if I could, if I would, what would that look like? So the number one mistake that we make is just believing the wrong things and believing that if we do more of the same, because now it's an emergency, it must happen, it shall. And the reality is we have to start push away from those, recognize, hold on, this isn't serving me. It's not serving my team. It's not serving my future. It's not serving my family. It's not serving my vision or my dream. I'm going to push away from that. And I'm going to take charge and start asking questions successful people would ask and be okay with. And that might cost the implication of that question. If I'm going to do something wildly different, might mean the stuff I was doing before was wildly wrong. And if we want to be right and go, it's not it, it's COVID, that might feel good and you shall be broke. If you're okay with the stuff I was doing before was wildly wrong and I don't do something wildly different, now we have an opportunity to get wildly different results. Tracy, did I miss anything?
No, that's wonderful. And I would say that that's the first step. It has to be that you decide to take charge of that old story. Don't let it run you. You run your own stories. So if that was an old one and it had a hold of you and it felt really real, Now's the time that you get to decide and commit, 100% commit to your new version, yourself. And it starts with your mind, your mindset, and making that decision first. And then the actions and then the strategies come, and you will figure that out once you start opening up with that question. But how can I? How could I? Right? And it all starts there.
Yeah. The big writer downer in what Tracy just said, and she said it like 3 or 4 times, I don't want you to miss it. The first step is always to decide. So the first step is to decide, I will do anything to get different results, even if it means admitting what I've been doing wasn't really the right thing. All right, guys, gals, there's so much of here's what to do, the tactics, and then here's the beliefs that we need that are successful. And if you have one without the other, you're just stuck. And we do as much as we can in kind of this one-to-many platform, giving you as much tactics and beliefs that are going to work. But we're limited, A, because we only have 20 minutes, and B, because we can't interact like we'd like to. So periodically, and I don't know when the next one we're going to do is after this, we do events where Tracy and I get on for 2 entire days. I know it's a huge time commitment, but the results are life changing for the people that engage, right? Just if you decide, holy heck, I've got to do something different. How can I go? Where do I go? Your timing couldn't be any better. If you go to growmycleaningcompany.com/event. We're just about to do a live event, not in person, doing this COVID thing. Perfect example. We can't serve people at live events because COVID says blah, blah, blah. I get that. But if we could, what would that look like? Well, we'd get on Zoom and we'd interact, and in holy crap, it would be just as good as what we've done in the past. So go to growmycleancompany.com/event. If you want more of this and to really flip it out in what it looks like and feels like in your business, so you don't keep making that mistake that's the most expensive mistake, which is thinking because it has to work, it will work. And if I do more of the same, I'll get something different somehow, which we know in our brain doesn't work, but our heart lies to us all the time and says, it'll work this time. This one, just double down this one time. Here's the excuse. So growmycleaningcompany.com has all of the resources that we offer. There's nothing for sale there. It's all for free. Unless you go to growmycleaningcompany.com/event, and then you get a ticket for the event. It's a couple $100, but the real price of admission is 2 days of, I am committed to take time out of my business. I'm going to work on it from outside as an owner and not in it. So again, it's a couple $100. That's not the key. The 2 days is the key. Everyone's got $200. Here's where I really get to meddling. Everyone's got that 2 days. It's just a matter of you going, again, what you've been doing historically has probably been, I'll just keep working on my business. I'll keep cleaning things and answering the phone and doing whatever I need to do, and that will fix it. Or here's a radical opportunity to go, I'm going to do something wildly different. I'm going to take 2 days to step out of my business and work on it. I'm going to decide to go all in, play all out, and get a wildly different result. All right, Tracy, you've got the last word. Button us up, sister.
Yep. I was just going to say that's the key right there. Making the decision, doing something different, deciding that the old way is no more, and right now is a new day. So make that decision, do something different. Come join us at the event.
Cleaning Nation out. Great job, Tracy. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.